Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Jake Vomick with you guys here. Just got done talking to Spencer Davies over from Cleveland Cavaliers on SI. Really good stuff out of Spencer. And a really good insight into what we're looking at right now. I mean, I think that's... It's a question we're going to throw out to you. 216-474-0092. Are you basically giving Darius Garland a pass? Are you changing your perspective after what he did in the playoffs? And I think to some degree, like, we can hold on to it. I think a lot of fans are going to hold on to the fact of, no, he's always hurt. He's not playing. He didn't put through a good performance. But, guys, I mean, if the guy went out there and toughed out, you know, what, three games on a toe that was basically non-existent, you got to give him a little bit of credit. Yeah, I mean, 4 to 5 months now having to have surgery on a toe. Like, and Spencer laid out in that interview, it stops everything that Darius is really good at. He used the terms, he's more of an east to west guard than he is a north to south guard, right? Where he gets downhill, he's a bully ball. You think of guys that are typically more like attacking the rim when you think of north to south guys. But Darius is a lot of, you shift, you move guys, you create space, you hit jumpers, and you create a little bit of motion, or able to blow by guys that way. That's everything. Being able to stop, being able to cut, that's on your toe. We talked about that during the series. You have to be able to do that. You have to be able to make those cuts to be the player that Darius is on a normal basis, but he wasn't able to do those things. Where I looked at Darius as already being injured, and if you were going to make the trade and actually move Darius instead of Jared Allen or maybe move both, it was going to have to be on the idea that you just got better. Because I can't take into account the fact that Darius hasn't performed in the playoffs. Because I'm looking at 2 years that, again, as Spencer would lay out, I also sort of chalk up as incomplete grades. I watched him with a hurt toe playing with a metal insert to try to be able to actually move and run and make sure that his toe's not killing him as he's moving up and down the floor, which, by the way, still was. We saw him drop into pain multiple times while playing in those few games. But also, like, Darius is not individually the problem with the Cavs. Are they small with Darius on the team? Do they lack a defensive presence? Yeah, I mean, that can be made up for at other parts of your roster. Darius isn't getting killed by a bunch of guards. Like, Tyrese Haliburton was not just absolutely going to town because, oh, well, the defenders on him were too small. You could make the argument that playing Max Strus at the three might be too small. You could make an argument that the lack of a four period outside of Evan Mobley or a backup five was probably too small and you couldn't guard the floor competently. But I don't think that we watched the Cavs get exposed against Indiana because you had two small guards and the defense from those two wasn't good enough. I think there's a lot more reasons to it. Sure, you can get better by moving Darius for the right price. And I think that's just on the idea that you move Darius Garland anyway. It has nothing to do with the injury. It has nothing to do with the way that he performed in the playoffs. If you can get better, you get better. But nothing from Darius's playoff performance, especially with the injury news, I think pushes me in any other direction. If anything, it makes me take out the playoff performance almost altogether. And be like, okay, it happened, but it happened because Darius pushed to try to make it happen and tried to give you anything that he had. And we're talking about if I get, you know, 60% of Darius Garland, that might just be better than getting 0% of Darius Garland.
It's kind of reminding me of the whole Baker situation. Kind of hate to say that, but
of just like trying to play through the injury.
Shoulder. Everybody kind of turned on him at that point. Like, oh, he's not good enough. This, that. They move off him. And then he goes other places and is playing very well.
I mean, you're not necessarily wrong. Like, that's on the table. I think the one thing you would have is that people would argue the Browns made Baker play through an injury, and nobody was making Darius play through it.
That's true, yeah.
But
the fans kind of made him play, like us.
Made Darius play?
You should have seen every, yeah. Like, everybody saw everything everyone was saying on Twitter. What is that? Stephen A. Smith saying, Darius Garland, this is a toe. You got to be in the...
Yeah, basically telling him he's taking a vacation.
Yeah.
In the middle of the playoffs. Like... I think we all could agree, at least City and Cleveland. I think if you don't agree, maybe we got to open our eyes to the fact that Darius wanted to be out there. There was no question whether or not Darius wanted to play.
100%.
Like that
you're playing through a toe that needs surgery? Yeah.
Yeah, and I think we all know, like, I mean, in general, a basketball player wants to be on the floor. Like, I can say that for almost every player across the board. When you get to the playoffs... You want to make an argument the regular season Darius is trying to take a vacation? I might listen. You tell me in the playoffs the guy doesn't want to be there? That's absolutely ridiculous. That's what you grind the entire season for. You work up to that moment. You want to be there. I think it's very difficult now to look at Darius and say the perception's exactly the same. And what people are calling him weak, not strong enough, hey, this team has no backbone, they have no heart. Like, all of that sort of goes out the window. The same way that I think it failed to go out the window, but probably should have with Jared Allen last year. You can make an argument for Jared Allen's play in the playoffs. I don't think he's ever played well. I mean, he's playing well in the Orlando series, if we're being honest. Like, this year was atrocious. Against the Knicks 2 years ago, atrocious. But you can't make the argument that Jared Allen just was being weak and not wanting to play. He had a bone floating around in his rib cage. That's not exactly a comfortable situation. He had broken ribs. You don't just play through those. I think it's a very similar situation, but I fear that Cavs fans are going to carry a very similar narrative with Darius Garland. That it was still, this team's not strong enough, they're weak, they're small, and they don't want to play, and they're never going to live up to anything. And I don't think that's necessarily a fair conversation to be had, because Darius 100% has given everything that you could have possibly asked for. It's just, I think, almost an uncertainty of his injury history. Like, I look at it, I don't look at Darius and say, that guy's injury prone. Like, I listened to JP and Daryl today on Afternoon Drive. JP has fears of, okay, I can almost wipe away the when he played idea and say he was hurt, but it almost draws in a bigger question of, well, is Darius ever going to be healthy? And I think that the Stephen Curry comparison, while yes, it sounds very odd because you're comparing him to the best shooter of all time, probably. I also think it's a fair thing to look at and go, okay, well, Steph dealt with probably what was considered a lot more like nagging injuries, injuries that are reoccurring.
He still has the ankle injury. He has to wear a big brace every time he plays.
Yeah, like that's something that continuously happens over and over again. And Darius Garland's got a magnet in his face. That continuously happens over and over again. But... I mean, he hasn't been kept out of games aside from having his jaw wired shut when it was actually a serious problem. And now it's a toe injury, an injury that typically you don't see be reoccurring over and over and over again and cause you to miss games. I just don't think that looking at him and saying, oh, well, Darius is injury prone, right? And that's going to be a problem moving forward for him. There's a way where he continuously gets injured and he's not big enough and there is a real problem with him going through and actually making the adjustments and getting stronger. But if you believe he can get stronger, if you can believe that he can stay healthy, it's not like he's constantly pulling his hamstring. It's not like he's going and having a calf strain, Donovan, multiple years in a row. Like, honestly, and I mean this seriously, and it's in no way of me saying, like, oh, get rid of Donovan. Nothing along those lines. But there is way more fear in my mind that Donovan is, quote-unquote, injury-prone, and we're never going to be able to get to a playoff series where Donovan is 100% surefire healthy and that calf's not going to become a problem. Way more than I feel like I'm looking at Darius Garland and be like, can I ever trust you to be healthy in the playoffs? You run into some really unfortunate injuries. Last year wasn't even necessarily a timing of the injury. It was just the fact of the severity of the injury and how long it kept him out. This year, it's a little bit of the both, right? You have the severity where he's now missing 4 to 5 months, and you also have the fact that it literally happened in the first round of the playoffs. Both of those are major problems. But I don't think you can boil it down to, well, he's just always hurt and consistently hurt, and it never changes. As you've legitimately seen him injured in the playoffs twice. It just happens to be 2 years in a row. And it just happens to be both major.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Non-reoccurring injuries. I mean, it just feels like an unfair evaluation of a player that was, for all intents and purposes, a very large piece of the reason of why you were the number one seed in the East. He was one of the top pieces, the top reasons as to why that was. And I don't think that it's fair to go in any other direction when evaluating Darius and saying, oh, yeah, he helped us a ton during the regular season. Can he be a playoff performer? It's a question that has to be answered. I don't know that Darius is a playoff performer. I don't know for a fact that when we get into next year, he shows up and he's shooting 40% from beyond the arc, dropping 20-plus points a game, and being the facilitator of the offense when you bring him back. I don't know that. But I will tell you that there's a pretty good chance I'm willing to take the risk on Darius Garland, the 25-year-old, that he shows up and actually performs the way that he has in the regular season, and that I'll bank on the fact that we had two injuries and that was the difference maker well before I go ship him off for somebody like Drew Holiday or ship him off for somebody like Jalen Suggs. We're looking at major injuries that can be reoccurring. You're looking at major injuries in major age problems where Drew Holiday is 35 years old. This team could use to get older, but it's not in your core players that need to get older. It's the supporting pieces that need to age and need to get older. I just don't think it's a fair thing to look at Darius and say, well, the fact that he got surgery doesn't change anything. I look at it all the same. How does it not? If you're telling me sprained toe, that's all that was keeping Darius out, and it was purely pain management, which is, by the way, pretty much what we were told, that everything for Darius and the ability to go is pain management. I would argue that going through and having surgery on your toe is more than pain management. If that's all it was, you can call Darius Garland soft. You can say he's not a playoff competitor, and he doesn't really want to be there. As soon as surgery news comes out, that has to change. You can't keep that same line of thinking. 216-474-0092. Have you changed your perspective on Darius Garland knowing now that the toe required surgery? On X as well, at Volnick Jake. V-O-L-I-N-E-C Jake. And what I think is probably a bigger issue from a Cavs perspective than a Darius perspective. In 5 minutes on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan. Coming up here in about 20 minutes, we're going to get to the station buzz, the most pressing clips from our station's guests from earlier on in the day. But we're talking Darius Garland, where you guys can jump in at 216-474-0092. Have you changed your perspective on the Cleveland guard since the news that he's now out 4 to 5 months following a surgery on his toe? Which, of course, I say yes. Like, you have to change your perspective. There's no way that you look at him and just say, that guy's soft. And honestly, is this something that Spencer touched on in the interview too? This is so much more a Cavs problem and a just labeling issue. Like, the way that they are designated injuries is leading this team to be far, in far worse of a condition than, in terms of the fans, I should say. They're in far worse of a condition, and from the way that the fans are viewing their own players, the players that they view very highly, by going through, and again, I'll call back to Jared Allen saying it's a bruised rib when it was in fact not a bruised rib, and it was a fractured rib, and he had a floating bone sitting in his rib cage. And then Darius, they're calling it an injured toe, a sprained toe, and now, listen, I don't know how many times I've sprained my toe in my life. I don't know that I've done it once. I certainly didn't get surgery and miss 4 to 5 months if I did. And I don't think anybody that sprains their toe misses 4 to 5 months from spraining it. There's something additional that happened there. So why you label him as game time decision and as a day-to-day injury, it makes me think that Darius closed out and stubbed his toe. Like if I walked into the studio right now without my shoe on for some reason and rammed it into the desk, into the leg of the desk. And I was like, ow, that hurt. It hurts to put pressure on it. That's what they made it seem like for Darius. A lot less of the, oh no, he's actually going to have to, you know, have an entire medical procedure done to properly prepare his toe so he can get back to being the player that he was. The anger here should not even be directed at Darius Garland in the performance he put out. If you want to direct anger, if you're angry about the way that the Cavs performed, and you're angry about the way that his injury was actually managed and him not playing, you should be angry at the Cavs because they've now done this multiple times. You can't just go through and be like, oh, well, it's a competitive advantage. They don't know if Darius is going to play. Well, guess what? You do. You know that Darius isn't going to play. The team knows. And all of us are sitting there basically left just with question on question of like, we have a toe injury and Darius isn't playing. I understand that hurts. I understand that it's hard to cut. But my God. You got to go out there at some point during the playoffs and actually play the game. Wouldn't be saying that if I knew he had to get surgery. Or if you're telling me, hey, you know, whatever the injury may be, right? Darius tore a ligament in his toe. Darius ended up breaking his toe. I don't even know if there are ligaments in toes, by the way. I'm just making things up. I'm no doctor here. I think there are, maybe, potentially. Or maybe he broke his toe. If you give me broken toe and it's like, no, Darius is sort of a game time decision. He's going to leave it up to whether or not he thinks he can go. I'm going to treat that as a much different situation than a sprain. I'm going to be like, wow, Darius really going to tough it out. When I'm reading Aaron Gordon going through and it's like, you know, strained hamstring. And it's like, oh, he's going to play through it. I'm like, wow, that's an accurate, that's like, the Cavs probably wouldn't even have listed him. They'd just been like, can't let him know. Don't, I mean, that's all they're supposed to do, let him know. But we can't let the world know. We can't let our opponent know that he's actually dealing with an injury, so we're just not going to designate him. And then, you know, if that's Max Strus and he goes out there and shoots 0 for 9 from 3, we're all going to be looking at him going, this dude sucks. He's terrible. And you wouldn't even know the injury. Clarity provides you some help from a local standpoint, from your fan base standpoint. Like, if Darius was going to go out and play hurt anyway, you might as well just tell everybody what he had. All of the players knew that it was more serious than a sprain. I think the opposing team and the Indiana Pacers knew that was more than just a sprain when he's missing two games. All of those players have played the game. They know that's got to be more serious. Hey, Jax, you hold it up to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Is that a problem? Labeling now officially an issue?
Major problem.
Like, I already thought it was a problem, and I had talked about that before when we were just looking at the Darius injury. And we were looking at, you know, even Evan Mobley and DeAndre Hunter were watching guys miss games, and they're just throwing them out there as game-time decisions. Like, listen, Darius can't be a game-time decision for 2.5 weeks. That's not how that designation works. Like, at that point, he should be out. Like, if he couldn't, if you were like, he might go in game 3, and then in game 2 of the next series, you're like, might still go, hasn't yet. Like, no, in game 3, he was out. There was no chance if in 2 weeks he wasn't ready still, he was actually going to give it a go 2 weeks before that. No chance. I don't know how on earth you get to that point. And now we have to sit here and have the conversation about whether or not you can actually still trade Darius Garland. What does that do for his trade value, right? Because I don't want to trade Darius. I'm much more in the business of trading Jared Allen. But it's definitely something the Cavs can do. We have to entertain the idea. We have to talk about it. Danny Cunningham on with Afternoon Drive today throughout the possibility of trading Darius now with the injury.
I think it probably does have some sort of impact, but I also don't think that it was super likely Darius was going to be traded prior to this news coming out today. Like, was he available? Sure. But I don't know that there were a ton of trades out there that made a lot of sense for the Cavs and another team, because it takes two to tango in these things. So I think that before this news came out, I probably thought there was like a 65 to 70% chance that Darius Garland would not be traded. And of course, in the NBA, as you guys know as well as anybody, you can never say never with these things. But I think now it's probably looking like an 80 to 85% chance that Darius Garland is back with the Cavs next year. I just don't think that there is at this point, with maybe getting a diminished return, should they look to move him, I don't think it would be worth doing so.
Right, and Spencer Davies gave a very similar answer less than an hour ago when he was on with us, of like, yeah, it probably hurts it a little bit. Like, you know, you go from basically an extra 10 to 15% in Danny's eyes of Spencer being like, yeah, I guess it's less likely if you made me pick, but I don't think it kills the idea. But yeah, there's going to be teams looking at going, do I really want to trade for a player who's coming off of a surgery, who's rehabbing from the surgery, and then trying to get him acclimated as he's going to be like basically ready at the start of the season, right around there, and then try to get him out of the team and get ready to go? I would think that it lessens that possibility. But
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS.
Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
Ah, DSW, Earth Place of the Humble Brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I think that just going through and listening to the way that Kobe Altman talks about the players and that you even hear Kenny Atkinson talk about the roster. Listen, the core four might get shaken up. There might be moves that are actually made. I don't think this is just a foregone conclusion, though. Like, Darius is pretty close to not going to get traded. Jax, I think I already know your answer. And by the way, are we back? Do we have sweet Prince Darius Garland? How back are we?
Very back. I feel awful for him now.
So, like, you were, what, let's go back, probably a week ago. Last week, did we have a conversation? Maybe two weeks ago?
Weekly, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like we've touched that. Darius has been a hot topic of conversation here recently. You were in the boat of, I'm back on the Darius train, but he could still be traded.
Uh-huh.
Are we fully back, not moving him?
I think there's a world where I'd still move off of him, but I'm way more sympathetic with him now. Like, nobody knew he needed to get hurt. Like, again, it looks awful on the Cavs for putting him in this position, making him look like, you know, he could play, like you said, Game 3 of the Heat series, and then doesn't play until Game 3 of the Pacers series. I feel bad for the guy.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how you don't. Like, again, the Cavs put their players in a really bad situation when these things happen. I just don't know how anybody's looking at this. Like, have you been swooned over by any of these possible trade ideas that we've thrown out there?
I mean, a couple interest me, but nothing I'm like, yeah, 100%, dude, no.
Which I feel like is what you kind of need if you're going to trade Darius.
Yes, a two-time All-Star, someone that you homegrown drafted,
That's still,
you
need 25 years old.
Yes, you need a offer that blows you away.
Yeah, you have to look at it and go, oh, we win this deal. Like, not even the sense of the other team loses it, but like, we win. Our team gets better. We get a player that can move the ball like Darius can and keep the offense flowing, and also a really talented piece or two that helps out in the other areas of weakness. I haven't seen a trade that I looked at and I'm like, wow. Would I do that in a heartbeat? Right? Like, we talked about a couple of the ones that Chris Fedor threw out. Going to getting Trey Murphy III. It might be kind of interesting. What was the other one that got thrown out? JD McDaniels, I think. And there were other pieces attached to these, but those were the main return. It's like, yeah, these are interesting. I'd consider them. I'd look at what you actually want in total package for the deal. I still don't think that's enough to get it done. Like, if you presented all of those to the Cavs right now, I don't know that they pull the trigger on any single one. Unless you have a ton more value coming back than what is in the framework. I don't think they do. A 25-year-old who just had, I think safe to say, probably the best season of his career.
If not the best, the second best for sure. The only other one was the season before Donovan came here.
Right. And now actually doing it on a team that's winning games and not basically...
They're winning games.
Yeah, they were like scraping by to the play-in. They were like...
Huge improvement from the past.
I didn't say it wasn't. I didn't say, listen, when we were going to, what was the combo? Was it Sexland? Was that where we end?
Yeah.
Where it was,
Sexland was still happening that year until he got hurt.
Yeah, and then it all went down the drain. Okay, it was not good. It was not a good time. Not a fun ride that we went on. Okay, it was one or the other. I think we can safely say at this point that the Cavs made the right choice. And... I look at this in a winning year, where you're the number one seed in the East. You put up the numbers that he did. The best year of his career at 25 years old, in which he was a dramatically better three-point shooter than he was all of last year. He's a dramatically better finisher at the rim than he was all of last year. Clutch player. I don't know if free throw shooter actually falls under that, but he's a good free throw shooter that was actually getting to the line this year. Like, he improved in almost every facet of his game that we watched. And now you're on the boat of getting rid of him?
While still being the best playmaker on the team.
Yes. I mean, Donovan playmakes for sure. Shot creates.
Yeah. But at a very high level, but Darius does it at the highest level on the team, I'd say.
I think it's probably a fair evaluation. I don't know if I just want to go through and like throw it away like it's a throwaway statement of like, ah, of course he does. Donovan's pretty damn good, but I don't know how you look at that. And you're talking about switching up the core four and you're like, but we got to keep Jared Allen. Congratulations. Jared played 82 games. I think Jared Allen's a very nice player. I think he's a great player for a lot of other teams. And in the right situation where he's the lone center, great player on a team. I would actually, and we've done this, I made a bit of it, but I think you can make a legitimate sell to a lot of teams that need a center. I could look at the Lakers and be like, guys, we like Jared Allen. And I know what he can provide to a team. It's just right now, the situation that we have, not really helping out all that much. They're more so hurting the development of Evan Mobley, and then also not putting up stats to go alongside of it. Like, if you were hurting the development of Evan Mobley, and we were a step away from a championship, I might consider it. But right now, it's just a no. But Jared Allen is a clear issue. He did not have his best season. He's been asked to do less offensively. He's been asked to do less in the playoffs. And I think that's the major issue. That's the real problem you look at. You're looking at a reducing role for Jared Allen for a very good player. Again, that I like from a basketball standpoint as well as a personal standpoint from everything that we've heard him say. Every time we've heard him talk, every interaction, I like the person Jared Allen as much as I like the basketball player. But on this team, it just doesn't make that much sense. A reducing role is the type of guy you move. There's not really a space for him. And they've shown you that through the play. They've shown you that in crunch time. Again, 216-474-0092. We're going to talk a little bit more of this coming up at 9 o'clock, but we're going to get to the most pressing thing said by our station's guests today, coming up here in about 5 minutes with the Station Buzz on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan. It's as we roll around to 9 o'clock, but that means Station Buzz coming your way a little bit later. And right now, I'm going to get to the most pressing thing said by our station's guest today, so let's do it with the Station Buzz. All right, let's kick things off talking a little bit more of Nick Chubb like we did to kick off the show for the first two segments where you guys were great on the phones. We'll probably get back to talking Nick Chubb here a little bit later as well. But Scott Petrak of BrownZone.com on with Baskin and Phelps today, and he made sense of Nick Chubb moving on from Cleveland.
It makes sense because of where the Browns are in their roster construction, not knowing how good Nick is going to be another year removed from that awful knee injury. He wasn't the same player last year. I think it's just tough when I'm sure they couldn't commit to him as the number one back. And if you've been the guy in this organization for so long and been so good, I think that's probably tough to hear and why you would want to go somewhere else.
I think part of it's that. I think it's also just in a way, a mutual respect between the two sides. Because if you're Nick Chubb, yeah, you don't want to hear that you're not really going to have the chance to be the number one back. But on the other side, it's like, if you're the Browns, I don't think you really want to throw Nick Chubb into an opportunity where he's at least not like a platoon player, right? Where it's a running back by committee, and you're like, oh, we're at least going to pretty much share touches, similarly to the way that they did last year with Jerome Ford, where they were basically splitting, I mean, very close to 50-50. But looking at the production you got last year, and listen, the Browns know a hell of a lot better than you do. They know a hell of a lot better than I do what Nick Chubb's actual status of how he looked last year was. You and I can sit there and watch Nick Chubb in workout videos where he's jumping on one leg, bouncing his head off the ceiling, and squatting 500 pounds and go, looks pretty good to me. But the people who are there with him every single day, watching him work out, watching him on the field, and seeing how everything went, and then also realizing that it wasn't just the knee injury, but Nick's actually coming off of another injury, the foot injury, on top of that. You just couldn't commit to giving him as many touches as he did last year. Maybe if you didn't draft Dylan Sampson, but I like Sampson a lot, and I certainly like Quinshon Judkins a lot. And there was going to be a change into the guard. You want Nick Chubb in Cleveland? In reality, though, guys, if you look at this team and go, they're not really ready to compete, were you just going to continue to sign Nick Chubb over and over and over again on one-year deals until he eventually stopped running the football past, like, 2 yards a carry? Because that's what it feels like sometimes. Like, he was 30. I'm sure he's going to be great at 31. Like, yeah, let's put him on a team where we're not winning any games. Why do that? Because he's probably not going to be ready to be on a team that was ready to win games. So why not let him actually go out and compete? Let him sign with a contender, a team who has a real fighting chance, where they might be able to give Nick something that Cleveland never really did, which is a sustained playoff run. I don't know if that happens in Houston. They got a hell of a lot better chance than the Browns do this year. So I think it makes a lot of sense from both sides, and I think Scott Petrick pretty much nailed it. Let's keep it going with Chubb, though. Mike DeFabo covers the Pittsburgh Steelers for The Athletic, was on with JP and Daryl this afternoon when the official news on Chubb broke. He gave his thoughts from a Steelers side.
Well, we remember what Nick Chubb can do. I mean, there were plenty of games that he just ran all over the Steelers. And Mike Tomlin has this term, like, he calls him Mr. Chubb as a term of endearment. And he does that with, like, Lamar Jackson. He calls him Mr. Jackson. So the fact that he got the Mr. treatment shows you that Mike Tomlin had great respect for him. And, you know, it was really unfortunate, I thought, to see Minkah Fitzpatrick hit him low like he did. And for Nick Chubb to have that injury. And you give him some credit for really battling back from what was definitely a gruesome and long rehab process.
Do I need to change how I talk to people I respect? Should I no longer call our good board up here Jax? Mr. Gregory. Is that
like
better?
It, I
is
like
that,
it.
Would you rather be Mr. Gregory?
I actually love when Tomlin does that. It's awesome.
I mean, it's a really cool thing, and especially to have Nick Chubb like thrown into that category. I think DeFabo nailed it here, and Mike's right. Like, you do respect Nick Chubb, and Nick Chubb did run all over the Steelers at multiple points in his career, so it makes sense that you get that designation. I'm just wondering now, Mike Tomlin's got to step up on me. I mean, there's a reason he's been able to be a Steelers coach and not lose games for so long. Maybe it's the respect he commands. I need to start calling people. Big shout out to our boss, Mr. Britton. Good show earlier from Mr. Peterlin and Mr. Ryder. I don't know. I could be doing this all day. Mr. Davey's on with us at 740. Austin Rewind, 92.3thefan.com. Had some really good stuff to say. Nobody would know who I'm talking about like 90% of the time. I would just have too much respect. That's the real issue. Mike Tomlin picks and chooses. I just ran off like six people that I respect, and it's already too far. I'm going to have every guest is no longer going to have a first name. They're going to be like, who's he talking to? I can see why the Steelers fans don't want to see Nick Chubb, why Steelers reporters understand that not having to cover Nick Chubb is a good thing for them in terms of writing positive stories about the Pittsburgh Steelers. Makes a lot of sense, but I think that that time too, you give Nick Chubb that endearment, the respect. I think right where I was last time, you also might be past the prime of having earning it and just having earned it. Let's talk a little college sports because Jay Billis of ESPN on with Baskin and Phelps today. And with the ruling that now colleges may pay players directly, Jay ruling in on how that could lead to contracts and what that can do for the portal.
With schools able to pay players directly and now they can sign them to contracts, that should stabilize the transfer market. There'll be roster limits now, so you can't stockpile players beyond a 12 or 13 man roster in basketball and 85 man roster in football. So there aren't going to be as many places to transfer, but when you sign a player to a contract in an arm's length negotiation, you're also going to negotiate a buyout. If you have a buyout that's big enough, nobody's going to pay it, and the player's not going to want to pay it. And if a school pays it for the player, that's going to count against their cap. So it's going to put real-world financial consequences into the buyout provision.
I honestly view this as like they're simply a good thing. You can look at it and draw some negatives from it. I don't know how this gets any really better. I mean, the fact that we're going into the world of contracts in college, I think sort of puts you in a position where you protect not only the teams but the players as well. I think this is truly twofold when you look at it of saying, okay, well, you're maybe going to defend some of the organization part of it the universities from going in and being like, okay, well, they're going to sign contracts and they're doing it with, you know, 18-year-old, 19-year-old kids who are trying to negotiate these contracts, sign deals that are going to impact their future greatly. So, yes, it protects the school from having these players transferred out. Maybe initially, if they're not loving the program, if they're not getting treated right, don't have the greatest opportunities. It also protects the player of being like, sure, we're going to sign a contract. There's some stability there, too, though. You want to hand me a contract? That's guaranteed money. Whether I get hurt, I don't play well the first year. If you don't want me to play anymore, you're going to have to buy out the contract. I'm not just going to walk away from it all free and willy-nilly. Make sure I'm getting paid. I think contracts are a prime example of what you needed. The NIL, free market's great. NIL was a little confusing, a little crazy, and it definitely hurt the smaller schools. Definitely was killing any mid-major program. Oh, good season from a junior. Guess where he's going? Texas A&M just threw him $2 million, and you were paying him $10,000. Yeah, good luck. Good luck hanging on to him. Yeah, that's not going to happen. You just take the freshman, make sure he plays well by his sophomore year so some other big school can come in and nab him. It's going to be much better. If I'm a mid-major school, I'm like, two-year, three-year contract? Make our program great? Let's see if I can hold you down for a little bit. Much, much better. Harder to compete, but it already is for them. But you're going to be able to actually hold down the guys that you know are great, and you're getting those diamond in the roughs and actually hold on to them for a little bit. Again, definitely a good thing. All right, back to Daryl Ryder. He was on with JP earlier on Afternoon Drive. Also sat down with the morning show and talked about the Cavs, who he would get rid of if he was managing the team like Kobe Altman.
I think they are going to trade one or two of the core four this offseason.
Whoa! Daryl!
I would move, if I can find anyone to take him, Isaac Okoro. The second Cavalier I would move would be Jared Allen. As much as I think he's a great regular season player and a wonderful man, he's just not tough enough in the playoffs. If you move Darius, he is like third on that list. But Chris is right in that if you do make that move, if you do trade Darius, you better get a massive haul for that guy.
Yeah, and that's the right way to look at it. Listen, I don't know. I understand that Isaac Okoro's not like the most desired player on the planet. I don't know why we just throw it around like, if you can find somebody to take Isaac Okoro. We act like he's making like $30 million a year. Okay, he's making way more than he should be. Like, the New York Nets, the Brooklyn Nets. Hey, the New York Mets. That's what it felt like. No, the Brooklyn Nets would definitely be willing to take on a guy like Isaac Okoro. You're telling me young player, contract that actually helps fill out their salary cap a little bit. And you're probably not giving up too much to go get him. Like, is Isaac Okoro worse than a second round pick? I would think not in most cases. He can be a decent player. I think you can develop him into being a role player, especially on that team. I mean, he's going to get starter level minutes playing for the Brooklyn Nets. But the fact that you could actually develop into something that maybe you want to use in the future, I think is more than enough for them to take on that contract. And you're basically giving it away. I mean, you're literally looking at them and going, a second round pick, please, please take it. I'll do anything. Okay? You want Max Strus? No, I'm just kidding. You're not tossing Max Strus. But I'll take the second. Just give me a second round pick. You can have the entire player. I don't care. You want a second round pick back from me? I might consider it. I might consider swapping seconds just to be able to move off the contract. And I think Brooklyn would be able to, too. I don't think that's that crazy. And then from there, Daryl has the right order. You move off of Jared Allen. You unlock Evan Mobley. And if somebody gives you a can't refuse a godfather offer for Darius Garland, sure. If not, I'm probably just going to keep him. All right, last one here. Danny Cunningham of Locked On Cavs, as well as the Inside Shot Substack, talked about the core four and how it really might not be a real thing on today with JP and Daryl.
I have gone so far as to say that I don't think a core four exists for the Cavs anymore. I think they have three core players. I think Darius Garland is one of them. And if you want to, you could probably make a case that Darius Garland is not a core player and that they have two core players. I'm not there, but I could listen to the argument even if I don't agree with it. I think Jared Allen is a very good player. He's a very high-level role player, but I don't think he's a core player. Cores in the NBA are often not this big. So I do look at it as you should not run back the core four, because I think Jared Allen should be somebody the Cavs look to move. Again, in a similar sense to how I feel about potentially trading Garland, You're not trading him to give him away, but I think that it's an easier trade to make because you don't need to recoup as much value. You don't need to get as great of players back for Jared Allen as you would Darius Garland should you want to make that move.
I think that's actually part of a conversation here. I want to talk about it a little more because we've said a lot of times it's not really a core four. Nobody has a core four. I wonder if you look at Jared Allen and the production he put up last year and can clearly say, that guy ain't a core player. We'll talk about that as well. Injury prone or just unlucky? That's on Darius Garland. Coming up here in 5 minutes at Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.